Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 118 with Dr. Bill Ziegler. Hi there. My name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Dr. Ziegler, we explore a number of interesting topics like care for students no matter what, relate, innovate, invigorate, developing a culture of risk-taking, and providing the resources for a high innovation environment. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show's sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by School Spirit Vending. I know the owner and founder of School Spirit Vending. He is a personal friend and he brings hassle-free fundraising to your school. But even better, Matt has written a top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. He's giving it away completely free. Get it at schoolzonepodcast.com. That's the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. I am thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled today to connect with Dr. Bill Ziegler. And the main reason why is because one of my favorite people in the world, Nancy Alvarez, shout out to you, Nancy. She said, you got to meet Bill and get him on the show. So it took a few emails back and forth. We got it scheduled. And Bill is here with us today in episode 118. He's an award-winning school leader, an author, and a speaker. He's been recognized as the 2016 Pennsylvania Principal of the Year and the 2015 National Association of Secondary School Principals Digital Principal Award winner. He's a co-author of Future Focused Leaders, Relate, Innovate, and Invigorate for Real Educational Change. Bill serves as a high school principal and has close to 20 years of experience as a school leader. Bill, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much, Danny. It's great to have you. Great to be on the show.
Oh, man, I am excited to connect. So this is fantastic. Bill, what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
You know, I actually had no idea I'd ever be an educator. Matter of fact, growing up as a kid, I wanted to be an engineer. Then I wanted to be a dentist. But if you told me I'd be a school principal, I would have laughed. I would have laughed you out of town. There's no way. But I think what happened was I got into education because I took a course in education and I thought, you know, I'm just going to take this. And I'll be honest with you. I took it because there was, you know, a few nice looking girls in the class in college.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So I'm taking this class for all the wrong reasons. And you know what? I fell in love with teaching, not the girl. And I got really passionate about it. And I was really inspired in my sophomore year of college that I found my dream. I found my niche of what I was called to do. And that was to become a teacher. And then I pursued becoming a principal because a lot of people just shared with me, you know, hey, you got leadership skills, you got this. And man, you know, at times, I'm sure this is true for everybody. I didn't really believe it in some ways, but I figured I'd go for it, get the degree. And then sure enough, I ended up as an assistant principal. And 20 years later, I've been a school leader now for this is my 20th year. And, you know, I'd never turn back. It's the greatest joy having an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of students every single day. Is just an amazing experience.
An amazing experience. And Bill, I can actually relate to that story, not in terms of education, but in terms of taking a class for the girls. I took Intro to Floral Design at the University of Illinois. And I'm thinking the most beautiful girls are going to take this class because they love getting flowers. And I'll tell you what, I was severely, severely disappointed. I was not attracted to anybody in the class. And then on top of that, I think a lot of other guys were actually thinking the same thing. So there were a lot of men in that class and athletes. It was just not the place for me. But Bill, when you talked about that class, though, sorry to cut you off. I'm so curious. What was it that lit that spark in you that you knew you found your calling?
Well, I struggled in school academically as a kid. So I think for me, the idea of going back to school was not a pleasant one. But I love school socially. For me, I thrive in the social aspect, you know, in leadership and connecting with fellow classmates, but the academic piece. And I think what I saw was that as a teacher, I could really have an opportunity to change learning for kids like me, kids that struggled academically and maybe kids that didn't want to come to school. So I got inspired by that. I got inspired by the opportunity to really make a difference in a culture, in a community. And for me, even to this day, that's what motivates me to get up every morning, is that I can make a difference in the life of a student that comes into my office or comes into our school. And I can really work to shape and change a school community. And that's just invigorating. You know, one of the things, one of the reasons we wrote the book Future Focused Leaders is to really equip and empower school leaders to provide students with an opportunity to be successful in a future that we don't know or we don't see. And part of that is that caring for all students no matter what. If we can do that, we can prepare students for a future that they can't see. And they need to know that as school leaders, we invest in their lives just as much as the teachers do, and we care about them just as much as the teachers. And it's that partnership between the teacher and the parent and the school leader that makes a student's learning opportunity so rich and so full.
You brought up your book, Future Focused Leaders, and that'll be linked up for all the listeners in the show notes. Curious, you know, what motivated you to write it, and what could listeners find in the book when they pick up a copy?
Well, Danny, you know, as a school leader, one of the things I think is that often we don't look ahead. We don't look down the road because we're so busy dealing with a problem that's right in front of us. And Dave Ramage and I co-authored the book because we believe that as school leaders, we need to be future focused to prepare students for an unknown future. And we looked at three key areas in the book, and they are relate, innovate, and invigorate. And we chose those three because relate is where it's all at. It's about the relationships, right? It's about developing rich, strong, sustaining relationships that can enhance student learning. With that, you know, looking at like partnerships within the community, building relationships with staff, students, and parents, and really working to brand your school story and communicate that story out in the relationship that your school has with their community. So, and then innovate, it's all about empowering and engaging students through creativity and innovation, using the latest digital tools, not just as something fun and as a quick gadget to entertain, but to educate students like they expect to be learning. Why is it that kids come home and play on their Xbox and use VR, and they use augmented reality all the time on their iPhone and other things, but in the classrooms, we don't use those tools? We're not flying drones in the schools, unfortunately. We're not doing AR. We're not doing VR. We're not looking at coding, and sadly, in some schools. And I think we need to return to that. We need to innovate and empower students. And then finally, invigorate, just returning everyone to the call, wanting to make a difference in the lives of students. And we provide school leaders practical strategies on how to re-energize themselves and to reinvigorate themselves to really want to empower their teachers and students for future-focused learning.
Those are great ideas to rally around: relate, innovate, invigorate. And you can find Bill's ideas and how he fleshes that out in his book, Future Focused School Leaders, which again will be linked up for you in the show notes. Bill, how would you describe your leadership style, and how did you develop it?
Yeah, my leadership style, I think it follows my personality, but I also developed it by mentoring, following my mentors and selecting strong leaders that I felt were highly effective. And what I realized was that the best leaders are leaders that are relational, collaborative, and built with integrity. If we can't have integrity as school leaders, we might as well not even start moving to the next step. That's step number one. And I know the people that I mentor, they put integrity at the top of the list. And then secondly, relationships. You know, having those strong, sustaining, lasting relationships that deepen learning, both for the student and the teacher, and even the parent, is so key. And then a very collaborative approach. I'm a firm believer that we can only move forward when we move forward together as people. And to do that, we need to have team decision making. And in the book, Future Focused Leaders, we talk about that collaborative leadership style and how you can do that. And then finally, I got to be honest, Danny, I'm a risk taker by heart and nature. Okay. And for me, I do walk a little bit out on the edge in leadership to try and work to make it innovative and fun. I think school has to be fun for kids and for teachers. And as school leaders, we have to find ways to engage them in a caring, loving, fun-loving manner. So
I like that idea of risk-taking, and I'm curious, Bill. So obviously that is something personally that you value, and that was lived out in a variety of ways. Were you able to transfer that love or desire to take risks to your staff at all?
That's a challenge of school leaders, and I think it's one that we need to embrace, is getting staff members to embrace taking risks. And the first way that I do it is I model it myself. So I model that, you know, I'm going to try something in front of the faculty that is a risk, that's, you know, I'm being courageous. And sometimes it flops and sometimes it's, you know, awesome. But when it flops, I need to let them know that, you know, I'm working through it. I'm getting better through it. And I think we need to model, and then we need to embrace failure, right? So too often we see failure as a setback or as a mistake. But really, I think failure is one of the key ways that we learn and grow and develop as school leaders. So we need to allow safe space for failure. I like to call it dangerously safe space because it's a little bit of that oxymoron, dangerously safe.
Yeah.
You know, where we create an environment where they can take risk, and we allow that, and they know we allow that. So it's about modeling. It's about allowing, creating a culture that allows for failure, but also allows for risk taking. And then really, you know, talk to, and this is one thing we've been working to do in my school, and that is to really look at what's the world doing and how do we get students to be, you know, active participants in our world. Why can't our students today be solving today's world problems? Why can't they be solving the community problems and, you know, working it collaboratively to do that? And that takes risk. When we want to move outside the comfort zone of ourselves and into innovation, we need to do that. As school leaders, we need to set that environment by, you know, modeling it, allowing for failure, inspiring them and giving them ideas on how to take risks, and then giving them the resources to do it. We have to provide them the tools and the resources to take risk and to be innovative.
Can you remember a time that you took a risk and it was a, you know, a gigantic failure, but it was modeling risk-taking? And I'm curious if you could take us to that moment and also share what you learned from the failure as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to share one I did as a teacher. Is that all right, Danny, if I just go back?
This is your show, buddy. You can share whatever you want.
So, you know, I've been a risk-taker, right? So back in the early 90s when they invented the internet, and I say that jokingly, but we did not have the internet in our whole school except for the library. So I decided I wanted to get the internet in my school. So I went out and I researched how to buy a modem. I put a modem in my computer. I bought like 300 foot of phone cable, and I ran it from the library to my classroom. I was all excited. I was doing this really cool stuff with the White House. And parent night, back to school night, I get up in front of the parents and I'm like, hey, parents, I just want to let you see we have the internet here. It's really awesome. Your kids are interacting with the White House. And I go, www.whitehouse.com. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. And I'm not facing the audience.
Right.
And up comes Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton in this extremely scandalous outfit. And they went to a porn site rather than the White House site. I was so embarrassed, Danny.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I ran downstairs to the principal and I said to the principal, I said, Reed, I am so sorry. This is what happened. And the first question out of his mouth is, how'd you get the internet in your classroom? He didn't care about the mistake.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think we all make mistakes like that, but it's about growing from them. And I know as a school leader, I will get up and I'll be like, hey, there's this awesome digital tool. And I share it with our staff. Don't you know, it doesn't work, or something crashes, or it takes forever. And I don't give up. And that's where I think it's key for school leaders to be resilient. We need to be resilient and bounce back from failure. So we get up and we share something, a digital tool, or we share an innovative idea. We show them that we work through this as school leaders. Not everything's a win and a victory, but not everything's crash and burn. I think that we need to show that we can find success in the crash and burns and we can learn from them, but we can also celebrate in the victories. But it's about being vulnerable. And I work to do that every day as a school leader. It's difficult, but it's something that I need to do.
That's an amazing story too, because you know, you're taking that risk and trying to bring to life something for your kids and your parents. A little mistake happens and you guys are able to, you know, rebound from it. But I'm fascinated by your principal at the time's response, because to be, you know, to be quite honest, I'm surprised by it in the sense that I'm leaving a culture where if that would have happened, there would be no grace and no, just no grace offered. And the heads would have rolled. And I don't know that that's the right response, right? I think the response your principal had, how do we get the internet in there? You know, this is going to benefit kids. And understanding too, people make mistakes, you know. You've had a history, you've acted with integrity your whole career. So this was just obviously a mistake. So we don't need to smash you for that. Why do you think he reacted in that way?
Yeah, I think part of it is he knew who I was as a person. But the other piece is he really worked to develop that culture of innovation and risk-taking. And he sort of understood me as a person as like, oh, Ziegler, you know, what'd you get into now? And but he knew that I did it with good intentions and I tried to stretch the boundaries. And one thing that I respected him for was that he gave me the resources and the tools to innovate and risk take as a teacher. And as a school leader now, I try to reflect on the fact, am I giving my teachers the tools needed to be innovative in their classroom? Am I modeling for them what innovation looks like? And that's something that I work to be challenged in every day. And one of the ways I challenge that is I work with a group of principal mentors that are like colleagues of mine. And we talk about how can we innovate? How can we push the envelope? How can we challenge students to entirely new levels of learning? And I think that working together as colleagues and networking has really helped me to develop and grow in that area.
Love it. And providing the resources and tools so people can innovate. For listeners that are all fired up, they're ready to take risks and innovate within their schools. And now they're thinking, okay, I know what I need to do, but there's this what, how gap. How do I actually provide those resources? What might that look like for our listeners, Bill?
Yeah, one of the things in our book, Future Focused Leaders, we actually outline how can you change a culture from non-risk taking to high innovation. And we talk about as school leaders how we can model that. We also talk about how to get creative in getting the resources, because funding's not always there, but we provide some really good opportunities, grants that people can apply for, local grants, local scholarships, and different ways that school leaders can get money for their school. For example, in our school, we have a local foundation that gives a ton of money to our schools and our community. So we apply every year for that to do some really cool things in innovation in regards to like health and wellness for our students. But there's so many opportunities out there of schools. DonorsChoose.org is a great one that we share in the book. DonorsChoose.org. If you have a project that's innovative, cutting edge, and that's really going to work to empower students, get it on Donors Choose. What that allows is that allows other people to fund your project. It's sort of like a GoFundMe for education. And actually, a number of states throughout the United States are actually selected each year as areas that they're going to pump money into. So check out DonorsChoose.org. And we have that in our book. You can find more about it and some other things on great ways to get money and support. To get the things done you need to get done in your school.
It's a great tip if listeners are not already aware of Donors Choose. I had many, many individual classroom teacher projects that I posted on there get funded. And I know because the different podcasts I listen to, there are some very wealthy individuals that care about different aspects, let's say science and technology, now that we're talking about innovation, and they look for projects to fund because they believe in this so much. And some people, they might just give $1, $5, and those add up. And then some people might fund your whole project, but that's also linked up for you listeners in the show notes. Donors Choose is a great resource for sure. Conferences, piles of flyers, getting stuck in endless email lists and never-ending calls. There's an easier way to sort through and identify the best school fundraisers. School Spirit Vending proudly presents the top 10 school fundraising ideas of 2017. It's a guide of the top fundraising companies handpicked from the best podcasts. As an added bonus, this guide lists 5 resource companies that would add tremendous value to your community, school, and students. The best part is that School Spirit Vending is giving the guide away completely free. Are you ready to simplify the search? Download the free guide at schoolzonepodcast.com. Bill, we are really interested in being the best version of ourselves as leaders. And personally, I think, you know, a morning ritual helps toward that. Just curious, do you have any type of ritual, or what does your first hour of the day look like to be successful?
For me, I think the first hour of the day in the school is to get in the classrooms. One of the most important things the school leaders can do is to be visible and to make a consistent effort to be in the classrooms and be out in the halls and to be building relationships with students. So as soon as I get to school, the first thing I do is I go down to the buses. I greet students as they're coming in. I hang around and build relationships with students. I welcome our staff as they're coming in. And then I make it a point to get in the classrooms first thing in the morning, because, you know, that's the best time to get in before things get crazy and, you know, phone calls come in, emails come in, incidents erupt. Get out there early. And for me, it's about setting the tone of being out there, welcoming the staff, welcoming the students, and building the relationships. One of the things I love about our book, Future Focused Leaders, is that we feature and showcase 20 school leaders throughout the United States and what they do to find success in their schools and for their students and teachers. And, you know, I'd encourage your listeners to really dig into those school stories. Nancy Alvarez is a great example of that. You know, Nancy's one of our school stories and what school leaders are doing to really make a difference in schools. But for me, I got to tell you, here's the other thing, Danny, practical. I have to get good sleep as a principal, because if I don't sleep good, if I don't sleep long, if I don't eat a good, healthy breakfast, if I don't get some, you know, alone time, just some time to, you know, read my Bible, to read something motivational in the morning, I struggle to make it through the day sometimes. But when I do that, I eat a breakfast, I read something inspirational, I get some good sleep, and then I start off at the buses greeting people, I feel like nothing can stop me once that day gets started.
So since we, you know, Nancy introduced us and now you're on the show, I'm just very curious, how did you meet her for the first time?
How did I meet Nancy? I think I met her through Twitter I'm pretty sure I met her through Twitter or a Voxer group through the Principals Association. And I got to know her and I built a relationship with her. And I really value her as a school leader just several ways. I mean, her honesty, her integrity, but I love how passionate she is about preschool education. And I love the bilingual and how she is just so focused on helping students of you know, Hispanic and English. And I just think that's amazing. And I admire that.
Yeah, I admire her too. So had to ask, but she is a social media ninja. So I'm not surprised that it was on Twitter or Voxer where you met her. Knowing what you know now, Bill, what would you tell yourself as a novice principal?
I tell myself to relax, get involved, and be visible. Build relationships. Have fun, and to really don't hesitate to innovate in schools for students. We need to do whatever it takes to help every single student find success no matter what. You know, as I look back at myself 20 years ago as a starting off rookie school leader, I was like anybody else. I was nervous, I was scared, and I was anxious. And, you know, I started off when I was in my mid-20s, and here I am supervising people that are now my age. I would tell myself to relax, to protect your own personal time and your own well-being, and make yourself strong so you can serve others. I think we need to fulfill our own selves and through finding joy in our family and our friends and that time alone. Because in my early days, and I work like crazy man now, but then I think in some ways it consumed me, and I would really work to say, hey, you know what? Make sure you take time for family. Make sure you take time for alone time to refuel your own car, get charged up and get ready to go. But also to take some rest, innovate, and relax and have fun.
What are some of those things that help you recharge, Bill?
For me, it's about spending time with my family. I love spending time with my family. Lately, I've been really digging into some good podcasts. I listen to the Craig Gauchel Leadership Podcast.
Yep.
And, you know, that has really challenged me. The other thing for me with school leaders is I have a network of school leaders that I connect with on Voxer. And if we have issues in our schools or we just need to inspire one another, we go on Voxer and we work it out. And that's been really inspiring as a school leader to know I have a network of school leaders outside my district that I can go to for feedback and to share some ideas and get some new ideas. But to get re-energized for me, it's about spending time with my family, getting active in my community, and being physically active as much as possible.
What do you think is one class we should add to our schools that's not currently taught of that you know?
Coding. I think we need to begin to put coding in every school in America. Just like we teach English, reading, writing, arithmetic, we need to add coding in there for all students. I think we need to start early and progress all the way through high school. I think coding is key to the future as we prepare students for a future that we can't see.
When you think of the word leader, who's the first person that comes to your mind?
Leader, first person that comes to my mind. Probably my parents. In school, leader. Probably my mentor, Finn Larson, great leader, former superintendent, principal. Yeah, probably those people.
Concerning school leadership, have you changed your mind about anything in the past few years?
I changed my mind about a lot of things, Danny, regarding school leadership. we need to get away from the minutia of school leadership, of the paperwork and the email and the mandates and all the things that pull us away from learning. I am more committed than ever getting engaged in the classrooms, talking about learning. What does learning look like? What does learning sound like? How can we challenge students for learning? You know, I've changed in that sense because I think I was listening to the call of teachers and chasing down the dress code violation and the cell phone violations and letting that consume me.
Oh, boy.
And I think I've changed in that. I think the other way I've changed is that we need to use technology to engage students. No longer can we put technology aside. We need to find creative, innovative ways to engage students. And then I think the last piece is I really, you know, opened my eyes up over the last few years, and I've been really passionate about increasing student voice, student choice, and having students solve real world problems in their community, in their school, and why not in the world? It's about empowering students, giving the power over to the students to make the decision and really impact their own learning.
Do you have any, stick there for a second, do you have any stories around student voice and choice or any helpful tips how our listeners can start that if they want to, you know, form some type of student committee and help them or just, you know, add them to the community, the stakeholders that actually make decisions that guide the school?
Yeah, two things that we did in my school. One is we added two student board reps to the school board of directors. So they actually meet with the school board of directors on the school board meetings. The second way that I decided this year to really engage and empower student voice was I created a student forum. So every Friday, third period, we selected 16 random students in the school, four from each grade, totally random, and we asked them four questions. We asked them, what does Pottsgrove do great? What does our school do great? What could our school improve on? What do you dream our school could be or do? And then finally, how can you work to make our school a better place? And we documented that, and every week we'd listen to those 16 students, and we send that feedback out to all the students in the school, and we send the feedback out to all of our parents and community and teachers. And here's some really cool things. So good example. Students wanted hot sauce in the kitchen, in the cafeteria. They had ketchup, they had mustard, they didn't have hot sauce. As a result of listening to students, we put hot sauce in. All of our bathrooms had those high-powered fans in them to dry your hands, but not paper towels. So we listened to the students. We got paper towels in all of our bathrooms. We had students who were struggling to get to school on time during snowstorms and rainy areas. And we put a 5-minute window in to allow students some lead time of getting there. So we actually took the things that students said and we actually implemented them in our school. Really made a difference in the value and the contributions of students in our school. So by the end of the school year, we met with close to 200 students around those four questions.
Better leaders, you need to hit rewind right now and go back to the last 2 minutes that Bill just shared if for nothing else, that was pure gold and a way of incorporating student voice into your community by doing this student forum. I mean, it really sounds like focus groups, randomly chosen students from each grade level, asking them the same type of questions, and then not hiding from what the data show, presenting that to the community and actually taking action on it. I'm curious, Bill, how did, I guess, the different stakeholders respond to those emails or the different ways you communicated out what you were learning in the student forum?
Yeah, people were thrilled about it. Matter of fact, I had students coming up asking to get into the student forum because they wanted to make a difference. You know, and our students, I think, really felt empowered because they actually saw things that were changing as a result of their voice. So another one is they wanted breakfast program. So next year, we're going to actually implement a breakfast program into our school.
Wonderful examples. And here's the thing, guys, like, sometimes the change is big, and Bill, through his book, Future Focused Leaders, you know, you could hear his passion for thinking about how to meaningfully and intentionally incorporate technology into the school. But sometimes the solution is so easy. You just have to go out there and buy some hot sauce and provide for kids what they need. So thanks again, Bill, for sharing those examples. They were wonderful.
Thank you, Danny. It's been great to be on the show, and I agree with you. We often fall into the trap of thinking innovation means technology. It doesn't at all. Innovation means thinking differently, new ideas to improve learning for all students.
Bill, how do you want to be remembered as a school leader?
I want to be remembered as a school leader who made a difference in the lives of students, one that really cared for their students, and one that would do anything to help the students find success.
And do you have an example of the worst leadership advice you've ever been given concerning schools?
Yeah, I think, you know, the worst leadership advice I've been given, I can remember it was an assistant principal I served under when I was a teacher. And he said, you know, you have to be mean, you have to be tough, and you can't smile. And, you know, I look back on that and I think, how sad is that, that we as school leaders are teaching other school leaders that we can't be ourselves, we can't be personable, and we can't be joyful. You know what our students need? I think our students need hope. They need joy, and they need people that are real, authentic, and believe in them. And that means smiling. You can be firm and fair, but do it with a smile and do it with hope. And I think that's what we need to do as school leaders.
So, Bill, we're about to enter into some quick-fire questions and then one big one at the end. But before we move on to that, I'm just curious, was there any question I didn't ask that you wish I would have and you wanted to talk about?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. No, I can't think of one.
Sounds good. Well, what's one book in addition to Future Focused Leaders that every principal should read right now and why?
Renegade Leadership. I'm reading it from Brad Gustafson. I love the passion and the energy that Brad brings to the principalship and school leadership. Brad's an elementary school principal in Minnesota, and he brings his A game when he writes Renegade Leadership and how school leaders can really work to make a difference in their schools.
What do you do for fun, Bill? I know you talked about family time, but how do y'all like to connect during that time?
Well, family, we love to travel. I love to go fishing. You can find me fly fishing or fishing for some bass on any summer day. Love fishing, love traveling, love spending time with my family. And I think one of our biggest thing is we're huge Philly sports fans. Go Phillies, go Eagles, Flyers, and Sixers. And the Sixers are going to be winning the championship soon. So we're pretty pumped about that. We're trusting in the process.
Okay, I hope you're right. Bill, if you could be automatically good at something, what would it be?
Being a principal. you know, if I could I know exactly what it would be. Trout fly fishing. I'd love to catch unlimited fly fishing. And I'd love to be able to hit a home run.
Yes.
You know, as a kid, and I used to play baseball all through high school, always struggled to hit the ball. I was a great fielder. I could play out in the field. I could do things. But I just could not hit that long ball. So for me, I think fly fishing, baseball. But, you know, I got to be honest. It's always for me. I'm always working to be a good school leader, be the best school leader I can be every single day.
What message would you put on a school marquee, on all school marquees across the globe, if you could do that for just one day?
Don't ever give up. We believe in you.
All right, Bill, you made it. Here is that last question. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
Number one priority is hiring a staff that loves kids. You know, we say that we elementary teachers go into teaching because they love kids. High schoolers sadly say they go into their love their subject. And I always say middle schoolers just do it because we're crazy. But I think I would work to build a staff that loves kids. And then I would build a school that looks totally different than what our schools do now. Why do we need classrooms with four walls? Why do we need rows? I would build a school that looks like a Starbucks, that looks like the best mall you've seen, that looks like the best company out there. My goal would be to have that school looking like Google, and to build to get a staff that inspires and believes in kids and loves children, and then to build a school that really is innovative in its learning spaces. And then finally, a school that has the community coming in and going out, where they're doing partnerships with businesses, and our students are going out to businesses and apprenticeships, and we're really interactive. It's about changing the community, changing the school.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Bill Ziegler. Or you can go to my website at chaselearning.org. That's chaselearning.org.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Bill. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Bill in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Bill, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.